Good morning, if you would please turn to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. I'd like to read verse 13 through verse 18. Acts chapter 26, verse 13. At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things which I shall appear unto thee. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. As I sought the Lord's will as to what to speak to you today, my heart kept leading me toward a message of hope. I thought about giving you a description of heaven, but I just didn't have any peace about that. Yet knowing that the goodness of God leads to repentance, I was still drawn to a decidedly positive message. I wish to extend hope to the sinner with the emphasis upon God's love and grace rather than hellfire and damnation. The problem with that is the evangelical messages of John the Baptist, Jesus, and the Apostle Paul began with repent. So how can you speak about God's love and grace without demonstrating why you need His love and grace? It just isn't in me to talk about God's love and neglect His holiness, justice, and wrath. And frankly, I don't think a person will seek help if he doesn't believe that he needs it. And a sinner will never seek Christ if he cannot accept the fact that he is a sinner and under condemnation. At the same time, I don't want to be all gloom and doom. I want to offer hope. And then God laid upon my heart this text, along with a few other passages. And here I find the message of hope, coupled with a gentle reminder as to why we need God's love and grace. The title of the message is Hope for the Sinner. My text is verse 18. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day and the privilege of being in your house. Thank you for those who are here and able to be with us. We pray for those who could not be with us due to sickness, providential hindrance, that you would help them and heal them. And Lord, we pray for the bereaved, that you would comfort them. And help us today as we've come together in your name, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth as we attend unto your word. And that which you've laid upon my heart to share, I pray that you'd speak through me and use me, hide me behind the cross, that you would be exalted above all. We do pray for those in our midst that are lost, that you would convict them of their sin, draw them to yourself, and Lord, let them recognize that there is hope for them, and it all is found in you. And so we pray that you would move and convict and save according to your will, and we'll give you the honor, the glory, and the praise, and it is due unto you and to none other. Again, thank you for this time, and we commit it to you. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. And so here in our text, Acts chapter 26, verse 18, hope for the sinner. Now, I first would like to offer you a context for that which we are finding in our passage. And what we have in our context is that Paul is recounting his conversion experience to King Agrippa. You see, Paul had been attacked by the Jews, but he was rescued by the Romans when they arrested him for disturbing the peace. But when it was discovered that the Jews were out to assassinate Paul, the chief captain sent him to the city of Caesarea for safekeeping. And there, Paul was kept in bonds for over 2 years. Finally, a new ruler by the name of Festus came into power. Now, Festus wanted to please the Jews, so he sought to send Paul back to Jerusalem to be judged. And that was when Paul appealed his case to Caesar. Soon after that, King Agrippa came to visit Festus. And Festus wanted Agrippa to hear Paul's case. And so that's what we have in our text, is Paul talking about and giving his defense before King Agrippa. So here in chapter 26, if you'll glance through those verses or perhaps read them later when you have an opportunity, you'll find that Paul recognizes King Agrippa's abilities and understanding. And also, he basically states his case before the king. Then he tells the king about his own past zeal as a Pharisee and how all that changed that day on the road to Damascus. And that was when Jesus appeared to Paul in a vision and saved him from his sin. And we read those verses here this morning. Now, part of the passage which we read is an account of Jesus' commission of Paul. Specifically, verse 16 down through verse 18. And simply, God has chosen Paul to be an evangelist to the Gentiles. Our text, verse 18, is Paul's mission. Look at it once again. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now I submit unto you in this passage we find hope for the sinner. So if you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, and you might consider your circumstances, your condition, and your spiritual inabilities and all that surrounds you, and as we'll make reference to some of these things as we go through the passage and the related passages, I pray that God would just speak to your heart and you would recognize there is hope for you. Now what I've chosen to do is to look into this text and the others, and notice that there is a starting point and a possible destination. And that's how I'm going to look at these verses. There's a place where they are and a place where they could end up being. And so the first point of the message is the starting point and the possible destination. So as we look through these things, the first thing I want to bring to your attention is that not all will make the journey, but praise God, some will. When we read through this text and we see that there's hope for the sinner and that Paul is being sent to the Gentiles and there's going to be those that are saved from the Gentiles, not everybody's going to hear and believe. Not everybody is going to make that journey. Not everybody's going to leave the starting point and end up at that possible destination. But some will. Some will. And I know that when I declare the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and I deal with matters such as this morning, that and the sound of my voice, that not everybody is going to hear and believe, but some will. And maybe you'll be part of that some today as you recognize your need of the Lord Jesus Christ and the hope that is there. And you will respond by God's grace and by God's mercy. And so recognize not everybody will respond. So let us look into this passage and let us see the starting point and the possible destination. Verse 18 says, to open their eyes. To open their eyes. And that tells me the starting point is they are blind. But the person who is blind may be moved to having sight. Now, of course, we're discussing this in a spiritual realm, but let's think of it from a physical example. Some who have had physical difficulties in their eyes and perhaps they have a cornea go bad and they're losing their vision and surgery can correct that. How marvelous it is when they have that great hope and they can go in and they can have the surgeon do his task and God restore sight. How excited these people are. In a parallel fashion, although it doesn't deal with the eyes, it deals with the ears. I've seen more than one account where they'll take a child who's been deaf from birth and they put in a cochlear implant. And the excitement of that child when they hear for the very first time. My, what hope there is when one can go from deafness to being able to hear, from being blind or near being blind and being able to see. What great hope that it is. And so recognize, dear sinner friend, that outside of Jesus Christ, you're blinded spiritually, but light is available. Sight is possible. God can make it to where you can see spiritually. My, what hope there is. Secondly, you'll find in this passage, to turn them from darkness to light. Now, this is very similar description to the blindness, from the darkness of a blind person to being able to see, but from darkness unto light. And I think of it in this capacity when I think of those who live in darkness. The doom and the gloom and the shadows. Doesn't winter get kind of depressing sometimes when it's just always dark and cold and dank? And you can get depressed over that. And we talk about individuals and say, well, they're living in darkness. They don't have much insight. They have no hope. They're living in despair and depression and discouragement. Darkness. Darkness. But the good news is, you can come to the light. From darkness to light. And just like the blind person can see, you can be moved from that darkness into the light. And the light can just cause those things to flee away. And as much as we turn on a light switch in the room and darkness upon that light, the darkness scatters. When we are brought from that spiritual darkness into spiritual light, boy, what an opportunity. The darkness flees. What hope there is for the sinner. You'll notice also in this passage, and from the power of Satan unto God. What hope is there? Oh man, to be taken from the power of Satan and put under God's power. Now the word power in the text is the word that means faculty or ability. That is, it's a matter of right or authority. And so what we have in the passage is you're removed from the authority of Satan unto God. We're transplanted from the authority of Satan to the authority of God. Before we were saved, before God changed our hearts and changed our lives, we were children of the devil, children of wrath, under his power, under his control. Oh, what good news. We're not under that authority anymore, but we're children of God. How encouraging that is to know that you don't have to stay there, my friend, but you can be brought from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto the authority of God. And Christians gladly bow their knee to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What hope there is. You do not have to stay spiritually bound forever under the power of the devil. And we also find something else in this text. Are you receiving some hope from this? I trust that you are. Something else. That they may receive forgiveness of sins. Now, what that tells me is, sin is a complication. We understand that to be the case. And all is sin and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But the fact is, they may receive forgiveness of sins. And what that tells me is that the starting point is under condemnation, but the result or the possible destination is that of forgiveness. We have sinned against the Holy God, but we can be forgiven. What a joy it is to know that there's a God in heaven, sovereign ruler of the universe, that although I have sinned against Him, I can be forgiven. I can be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Boy, what hope that was extended to us. And for those of us who are saved, we understand that. We connect with that. And those of you that are lost still, you remain in your dead condition and you're under the power of the devil. Oh, would you not see there is hope to move from there to being a child of the King? From condemnation to forgiveness of sins, you can be forgiven. But then you'll see something else in this text. An inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Dear friend, there's great hope because your beginning condition is spiritually destitute. I mean, there's nothing there. It's barren. But to know that you can have inheritance. You know, as children of God, saints of the Lord, we have an inheritance that's prepared for us in heaven. And it's undefiled. And we one of these days, we want to step into that inheritance. From zero to everything. I mean, what a tremendous opportunity. That's great hope, dear friend. You once were lost, but you can be found. You once were blind, but you can see. And what an opportunity it is to know Jesus Christ. What hope there is for the sinner. Nothing. Spiritually bankrupt. But you can have inheritance. The inheritance of the saints. Does that extend great hope to you, dear sinner friend? Do you recognize you do not have to stay that way? But there is hope. You can leave that starting position. Turn, if you would, to the book of Luke in chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Here we find the time when Jesus enters into the synagogue and he gets the scripture and opens up the book when he begins to read. And he reads out of the prophet Isaiah. And we're going to look at one verse here as Jesus quotes the text, reads the verse. You'll notice verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Later on in verse 21, he says, this day this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. He's talking about himself and applies the word of God to himself. Now here's the Lord Jesus Christ standing up before the Jews in the synagogue, declaring unto them this statement about how God has come upon him and anointed him. And he's going to make a declaration to those who need to hear. And what do we find? Do you not see some starting points there and some possible destinations? I submit unto you in the middle of that verse, verse 18, it says, He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Brokenhearted. Those who have been emotionally crushed, psychologically damaged, the brokenhearted. No joy, no peace, brokenness. But the good news is, He says, I've been come to heal the brokenhearted. And what is it like when you encounter those individuals who have been brokenhearted and in despair of life, but then God makes them turn the corner, as it were, and brings them out of that brokenness and heals them? What joy there is that comes back to the heart. And Jesus said that He can heal the brokenhearted. So here today, dear sinner friend, if you recognize you're outside of Christ and your life is empty, there's a void there. Christ came to heal the brokenhearted. What hope there is. You do not have to stay at the starting point. You can be healed from that brokenness in your soul. You'll find also in this passage, to preach deliverance to the captives. And so He brings us from spiritual captivity to deliverance. For this I would liken for those people who go into jail, you know, and they serve their sentence and they get out. The difference of being captive to being set at liberty once again, from the captivity to freedom. I've never experienced that in a physical capacity. I've never been arrested, never put in jail or incarcerated. But we know that there have been many that have. The joy when they finally are free, when they're finally out. And He says in the spiritual sense that He preaches deliverance to the captives. You're bound. You are incarcerated in a spiritual sense, but you can be set free. You can have liberty. My, what joy. Do you recognize the starting point, dear sinner friend? Do you recognize the possible destination? You do not have to stay as a captive. You can be set at liberty. You'll look a little bit further into this passage, and you'll notice the next thing He says in the recovering of the sight to the blind. Well, we've already addressed that a few moments ago back in the book of Acts. But again, we see from blindness to sight. What hope, what joy. But look at that last thing we find in this passage. To set at liberty them that are bruised. And for this, my mind turned to the idea of those who were prisoners in the war that were in those prison camps where they were tortured and abused. Why do I say that? That word bruised in the text. To set at liberty them that are bruised. The word bruised means to break. It is to be shattered. It is to be crushed. And that crushing comes by a cruel oppression. And you take those who were prisoners of war that were tortured and abused, those in the Nazi death camps as they were starved to death, and they were guinea pigs in their testings. Do you think that is a matter of bruising? Yeah, absolutely, but when they're set free. When they're liberated from those death camps, when they're liberated from the prison camps, and so make that association to those who are spiritually bound, those who are being crushed by the devil and by sin. The joy that can be had when that is a liberty has been achieved, when they've been set free, and the enemy has been conquered. Oh, what hope, oh, what joy there is in the heart of those who've experienced that. That's what we find here. And so if you can recognize the spiritual inability and those things of which you are placed up under and see the hope, you do not have to stay at the starting point. There is a possible destination. And we see that once again in this passage. But then if you would, go back to the book of Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Just a quick reference into this passage. We know this is a prophetic passage about the provision of the Lord Jesus Christ and the sacrifice which He made. Two verses here, which references the starting point and the possible destination. Isaiah 53, and in verse 5 it says, "But He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all." What's the starting point? The starting point is we sin against the Holy God. We're under condemnation. We're under wrath. We're dead in trespasses and sins. But praise God, by His grace and by His mercy, God the Son left heaven, came to earth, become a sacrifice for sinners. And so we read in these two verses, as well as many other verses we could refer you to, but we find that a sinner under condemnation can be brought to salvation through the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you would just summarize all those things that we looked at up to this point, is it not true that the one who is lost and undone, without hope, alienated from God, this starting position is not a good place to be, but they don't have to be there. Why? Because of Jesus Christ, who took our sins upon Himself, and with His stripes we can be healed. God laid on Him the iniquity of us all, and because of what Christ has done, I can be brought from this starting point of condemnation unto salvation, and I can be forgiven based upon the provision of the Lord. He shed His blood. He paid my debt. That's a grand place to be. Forgiven, washed, cleansed, no longer under condemnation. Turn, if you would, then to Ephesians chapter 2. You might keep a finger in Isaiah 53. But Ephesians chapter 2. The last verse I would refer you to is verse 1. As we recognize the starting points in these passages, trying to offer hope for the sinner, the starting point to the destination. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." The starting point for those outside of Jesus Christ is spiritual death. You're dead, my friend. You're alive toward sin and alive toward the world and alive toward the devil. You're children of wrath. You're children of the devil. But you're dead toward God. And yet He says, "You hath He quickened," or made alive. That's the starting point. But for every one of us who've been saved, we've been brought from that death unto life. And so we have gone from that starting point to the destination of having life and ability, alive toward God, alive toward the things of the Lord, and toward His Word, and the Spirit of God, and dead toward the world. What a transformation. What good news there is for every sinner who would recognize that they're dead in sin, that they can have life. That you do not have to die in that condition. And so it's from spiritual death to spiritual life. That's great hope. For every sinner here today, you recognize you're lost and you're undone, you're dead. There's hope for life. There's hope for life. There's hope for the sinner. And so I submit unto you that the starting point is not a good place to be. Can you remember, dear saved friend, when you were at the starting point? Do you remember what it was like before you were saved? Do you remember the hopelessness and the despair? Do you remember the bondage that the devil had you under? Aren't you glad you're not there anymore? Aren't you glad God brought you from all those things and brought you that to those destinations that we've been describing? It's just a matter and description of salvation. Aren't you thankful for that? Well, dear sinner friend, I want you to recognize you do not have to stay there. It's not a good place to be. But I submit unto you that if you will not accept your condition, you will not look for something better. As we try to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, if they won't believe that they're sinners and condemned before a holy God, they'll never seek Jesus. If they don't believe that they're dead, if they don't believe that they're in bondage, if they don't believe that they're bound and brokenhearted and destitute, spiritually bankrupt, they'll never seek anything else. Why should they? I submit unto you, sinner, recognize your condition. But the intent of the message is not to be all hellfire and damnation, though it be true. I want you to recognize the starting point, but there's hope for the sinner. Hope for the sinner. You do not have to remain in your present condition. God can change your life. God can bring you from those things unto that destination. But I want to submit unto you, before I draw some closing thoughts, any possible change comes as a result of the provision of Jesus Christ. Now understand that, dear sinner. Understand that the hope to be transferred from the starting point to the destination is found in Jesus and Jesus alone. So I'd like to work backwards through those verses I just shared with you. Once again, Ephesians chapter 2, "And you hath He quickened." God quickened us. "You hath He quickened who were dead in sins." The only way a sinner can be brought from death unto life is by the work of God. I can't do it. This church can't do it. And you certainly can't bring a spark of life to yourself. Why? Because you're dead. And so, sinner friend, when you think about and ponder the fact that you have the opportunity to go from the starting point to the destination, that there is hope for you, you can't make it happen, but God can. Go back to Isaiah chapter 53. We read in verse 5 and verse 6, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all." Where am I going to receive forgiveness of sins? It's going to be through Jesus Christ who died for me. I can't do it. I can't pay the penalty. I can't meet the price. And you can't either, dear sinner friend. He's turning to Luke chapter 4, where we were at. I'm working backwards. And so I would submit unto you that this change is all based on what Christ has done. He became a substitute for sinners that we might have eternal life. He is the one that makes it possible to be taken from the starting point to that possible destination. Back into Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Who did that? Christ said, "I will do that. The Spirit of God is upon me. This is what I am sent to do." And so, the Lord's mission through the anointing of the Holy Spirit was to deliver and to preach hope. And that's exactly what He did. Go back to our passage in the book of Acts chapter 26. And we'll stop right there. Acts chapter 26. The way a sinner gets from that starting point to the destination is only through Jesus Christ. There is great hope at that possible destination. But the means of achieving that hope is Jesus. There is no other way. Back into our passage, Acts chapter 26. "It was God who sent Paul to be a mouthpiece so that the Gentiles might hear and believe." He says that in verse 16, he's talked about there about you're going to be a witness of these things, that which you've seen and what you will see, and I'm going to send you to the Gentiles to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And so God told Paul, "You go and you tell, and I'll do the saving." You see, Christ is the only one. I assure you that all those conversions that we see in verse 18, those starting points and the hope of destination, I assure you that destination is only attained through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. My, what hope there is, though, for the sinner. In considering our text, I say these things as I close. I believe the gospel message is to be spoken. Paul was told, "Unto whom now I send thee." What was he to do? He was simply to go and preach the gospel. And the gospel then must be spoken. The good news, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures and was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That gospel is to be declared to all men everywhere, and it offers hope to the sinner. That they don't have to remain in that starting point, but they can end up at the possible destination, which is forgiveness of sins, a righteousness of Jesus Christ that's been imputed unto them, and eternal life. Oh, what joy! What joy! And so I submit unto you, the gospel message is to be spoken. Secondly, it is a message to all who would hear. You see within the text those pronouns there to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, that they may receive. And so what do? We preach the message. The message of hope to all that would hear. Sinner, would you hear today? It's also a message of change. It talks about in the beginning of verse, to open their eyes. To turn them from, it says, and that they may turn unto God. Change. Change. I'm glad that I can come to Christ just as I am. But when He saves, I will not stay as I am, because He changes hearts. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm not bound anymore, but I'm at liberty. I'm not blind anymore, but I see. I'm not in darkness, but I am in light. I'm not brokenhearted anymore, but I've been healed. That's a change, my friend, that overcomes all who are saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not dead anymore, but I have life. This is a message of change. Dear sinner, do you want God to change your life? You want Him to revolutionize your existence. You can be saved today. There's hope. And it's found in Jesus Christ. So I submit unto you, this is a message that ought to be embraced. For those of us who are saved, there was a point in time in the past where God worked in our hearts, convicted us of our sins, and we embraced the truth. We repented and believed the graces of God given unto us, enabling us to do so. We embraced the message. He saved us and gave us eternal life. Dear sinner friend, there's hope for you. But will you hear it? Will you embrace it? Will you latch on to it? Or are you just going to keep ignoring this hope? Refusing the work of God in your heart. You must embrace this message. But then if you look into this passage, you'll also see that this is a message with reward. What do I mean by that? Well, he says that they may receive forgiveness of sins. And so what do? We talk to the sinner and tell them, this is where you are, this is where you can be, and this is only going to take place through the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you'll repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will receive forgiveness of sins. By what hope there is. Dear Christian, you know that you're saved. You've stepped into that hope. You know what I'm talking about. You rejoice in your soul. And so when I look at these verses and I look at what is being described, I find that the gospel message is a gospel of hope. Is there sin? Yes. Is there condemnation? Absolutely. Is there the wrath of God? Is there a hell to shun and a heaven to gain? Absolutely. But instead of taking my time today to tell you about hell and the flame and the flicker and the pain and the torture, I've chosen to take the time to say, listen, that is your lot if you continue in that condition. But there's hope. You don't have to be there. You can be over here. You can be saved. You can be forgiven. You can be cleansed. You can be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And I point you to Jesus Christ, the Savior. Would you see that hope, hear it, embrace it, repent and believe that you might be changed, that you would pass from death unto life. You would leave that starting condition through the work and power of God and end up at the destination of forgiveness and cleansing and inheritance. There's hope for the sinner. And I'm so glad that there is, because I once was a lost sinner like that. And He brought me from there to here. He'll do that for you today. As He works in your heart, would you repent and believe? I'd like for us to stand and sing. Father, bless Your Word as only You can. Speak it to every heart. We pray especially for those that are lost, that You would just enliven their spirit with the hope that's being described today and that which You offer to them. I pray that You grant them life and save them today. Bring them from that death to life, from that destination to the future hope. May they see it, may they embrace it. And for every one of us who are saved, Lord, may we rejoice in what You've done and what You continue to do in our lives. And we pray it all in Your name and for Your honor and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.